comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sophie Avery.
Once again, and welcome to the Spirit's Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
And Mick and I are healers and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gift of spirit communication. And on the show, we focus on education. And through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth and facts as to the nature of your existence, direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing the Kundalini experience, and all will be revealed for those who have no idea what I'm talking about. This is why we're doing this show, believe me. And if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. The number is toll-free, and in the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3227. But the international call isn't toll-free, but it's only a quick call. So if you have a question or a comment or something you'd like to join in with the show, it's not a reading or anything like that. It's participation in the program, and we'd love to hear from you. Phone in any time.
Well, hi. As well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, that's 9 o'clock GMT, we have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, and there's a whole bunch of different forms of the Akashic reading that we do to suit every pocket and your time limit, we suggest you go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirit people called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth plane. And I have to do that right now, so that we can get on with the show. So without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie, and she'll explain more about the process and what we do. And I'm going to go and have a sleep. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye, Mick. Yes, for regular listeners, who will know that Mick gets a little bit sleepy at this time in the show because Spirit draw very close to him and actually start sort of, as it were, taking him off before he's even finished speaking. So if he sounds a bit, sometimes a little bit sort of woozy or whatever, then that's the situation. The thing is, before he does this program, for a few hours before, he purposefully unwinds in preparation for it. And then, of course, when he goes on the show, he's supposed to be all yippy-skippy and joyful, but it's not something that he has to stimulate within his body to get the adrenaline going, because he's actually been purposefully slowing that down, so that would be counterproductive. So I hope you understand how it works anyway. Gregory, who you are about to listen to, is the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who consists of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team that have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught up in. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory Hay. This means that there's no room for errors because interpretation doesn't come into it. And as Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, which is www.spirit-teachings.com. And don't forget, once again, if you have a question for Gregory regarding our show topic of Kundalini, the number to call is a toll-free number in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call, 001-530-876-3222. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, my dear friend. Hello. What's up in life, my friend?
Thank you. So, today's show, we're going to be talking about Kundalini. Now, I did some research on this, and I have an experience of something that happened to me when I spoke to somebody many years ago that I'd like to relay.
Yes.
But also, it can be called a religious experience, and it can be called a spiritual experience. It's rather confusing, really, to what it exactly is. But I'll tell you what happened to me many years ago when I started to sit and meditate for spirit contact. I was in this circle group, actually in a spiritualist church, and one of the people in the group said to me, has your Kundalini risen yet? And I thought, well, I just had no idea. I thought he'd come from a foreign land, you know, or he'd just landed or something. I had no idea. And I'd been doing it for a little while, so I thought I would have heard of and remembered a word like that. So that totally threw me, and I was very pleased to find out that it didn't really have that much to do with what I was doing anyway, although I'm still pretty confused, as are many people, about its importance because it's such a controversial thing. So I'd love to hear what you have to say about Kundalini.
Yes, so you just smiled sweetly.
Well, I don't know what I look like, actually. I probably look a bit like a bunny in the headlights.
Yes. A lemming about to go over the cliff.
Absolutely.
Wondering if you had made the right choice or not.
That's right. Was I in the right place, even?
Yes, quite so. Well, this is most confusing, of course, because it will all depend upon which religious experience you are coming from, or, in fact, whether you are an adherent of the processes involved in the rising of Kundalini, that is, an energy form. And don't forget, friends, that whatever words you use to express whatever energy form or however you express energy as being, you may look to many different structures of development and perhaps choose those ones which cite and suggest the most accurate description of what you may come to feeling or may possibly go through. If you do this, so shall we say, that the incitement of Kundalini itself, that is the energy form which is supposed to be feeling a little like a snake coming, rising up, through the body chakras as you become enlivened by your spiritual contact or by the contact of your spirit state. In actual fact, it has nothing whatsoever to do with the spirit itself. But actually, people will find that it is actually a physiological attachment, if you'd like, to do with becoming aware.
And this is during meditation?
Yes, this may be due to meditation. It may also, my dear friend, be due to a simple form of awareness. Now, for example, I will quantify that simply by saying, if you actually contact that you make, perhaps it is an image that you see of a particular scene or something like that. And what you actually find is that the scene in front of you resonates with you to such a pitch that you find that you feel a sense of energy rising from the very center of your being, in a sense, but almost as though it's actually coming from an area just above your sacral energy, in fact, just above your sacrum, which is just at the very top of your bottom. It's actually the part where your spine finishes.
Would you call that the root chakra?
Well, I suppose I would. It's, in a sense, where your tail would have been,
mm-hmm.
had you kept one.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as a child in the womb, you would have had a tail.
That's interesting.
A little like a small lizard, I suppose. And in this respect, it can often be said for some people that they may actually feel that they may actually feel, incidentally, that they have the feeling of there being some kind of continuation of this particular energy band, which runs down from this part of you, from the sacral joint, and actually seems to just continue in midair, as it were. This is actually because of the previous presence of the original tail that you had as you as a fetus formed.
Okay, why do you... Oh, by the way, everybody, I don't know if you heard that train, but we're actually in a studio in England at the moment, and there's a train line at the... not very far away, actually, probably, how many yards away would you say?
Approximately 50 yards away,
yeah,
quite
so
close.
Absolutely.
And they're actually high-speed trains, I understand.
So this is live radio, folks. Anyway, yes, can I just actually, before we go on, this
yes.
tail business.
Yes.
Why, Gregory, why do we have a tail?
Well, it's really a part of the physical form, friend. And simply what happens is, as the fetus grows, the tail shrinks. It was actually the very beginning part of the fetus.
Mm.
And as it forms, it, in a sense, it's how the... I suppose what happens is that each side of the tail is a small bud, and those two small buds become your legs.
Okay.
And it appears to be that as the small buds grow, so your tail shrinks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. Okay, well, back to the Kundalini.
Yes, then. So, as I say, your Kundalini energy, and remember, friends, this is really just a word, it's nothing more, it's a way of descriptive energy, of describing that and trying to put it into some sort of form.
Well, in the Eastern philosophy, wasn't it?
Yes, quite so, yes. And, of course, and they had many people in ancient times had thought long and hard about the physical body makeup and about ways in which of experimenting to do with that makeup to bring about enlightenment and even just the simple forms of awareness that you have. So what I'm saying is that you may alter the energy of Kundalini within your spinal cord, and we're saying that this is the primal place, the primal origin for this to actually be brought within your physical state, so that it may well be that when you look at an object or something beautiful, something which beautifies your life, it often can be said that the image that you see in front of you brings an awareness of your divine state, if you like, because you identify with the image, and that brings a resonance to you, which allows this energy in your spinal column to rise. And this simply can bring all kinds of different effects to your physical body, to your personal being. It may bring a tingle to your head. It may bring tingles to your skin and that kind of thing. It could bring all kinds of different forms of feelings to your outer body, to your physical body. It may have a resounding effect upon your auric field, so making it feel as though perhaps you are being stroked or very gently held or caressed in your outer body area. And this is quite simply, in a sense, your physical body responding chemically to a response that you bring to your mind through viewing the image that you see, just like hearing a song or a piece of music that helps you to relate to the different situations and scenarios of how you actually chemically react to that environment. That's what you're doing, after all, dear friends. You're a physical being who is reacting to the present environment.
So would you call it, I've been taking notes from various people's views, and it's been called everything from a spiritual energy that comes from the evolution of love, held at the base of the pituitary gland. I've heard that it's from the root chakra at the base of the spine, and that it weaves from side to side, and that's a feeling that you have as it rises up your spine.
Yes, I suppose, a bit like a rising snake.
Yes,
in that respect.
Yes.
And the point is that the essence of love, of course, serotonin, actually is released by the pituitary gland, quite so, but also by certain situations which are indicated in the physical brain. So, in other words, that in itself is not a direct pathway, is not a direct part of this energy called Kundalini. The simple fact is that you may experience love without the experience of Kundalini rising through from your base chakra up to your crown. It may not be that sort of event. You may experience love coming from the well within a self, and it does not have that same interpretation or that same feeling. That doesn't mean to say then, in that respect, that your love is any less. Otherwise, people would be thinking, well, it can't really be love that's coming from me. I cannot really be feeling that because I don't feel my Kundalini rising. And therefore, then, of course, you have a person in a great distress because they're feeling that they are not actually responding to the environment or the situation that they feel they're looking at or that they feel that they should be responding to.
Well, we've taken on another religious philosophy from a different part of the world. I mean, and I'm not knocking that, but what I'm saying, I think, is that that's sort of like it puts everything in a nice little neat compartment for calling energy and experiences something specific, and putting a name to that and calling it your own, or something that everybody else needs and that you've got and that nobody else has got unless they do something, you know. It's a bit of a control situation again, isn't it, really? I mean, it was part of a religious experience that's created within a situation, because there's gurus who bring their whole life direction towards this one situation and feel that it's the state of enlightenment, don't they?
Yes, I understand that, of course, because it can bring absolute happiness when one is initializing this kind of sense of feeling and bringing about this state of awareness of one's life, quite simply reacting to things in a very positive, loving way, then that means to say that perhaps you will create a different energy about yourself, and therefore these same energies mm-hmm. will become more and more defined. But that's the same as if you hadn't called it Kundalini in the first place and just called it love. There's a much simpler word.
Well, they bring the chakras into it, though, it seems.
I'm aware of that.
And that they have to, it's only when these chakras, the throat, the heart, the solar plexus, etc., are opened on the way up that this pure state of enlightenment happens, and these different experiences of euphoria or whatever it is that they experience happens.
Yes, I am aware of that. And of course, that may well be so for those adherents who wish to practice it in that way, in that very methodical and logical light that they practice. However, that is not the same for everyone, and you may have some people who try to do this and simply are unable to open anything, do not even recollect or understand what a chakric point is, and therefore let alone how to actually obtain a key to open one. How do you open a chakric point? Do you have a specific key? Do you have a tolerance to be able to vision it and therefore be able to gain access to it? Or is it something which is beyond your concept of mind? Do you feel, if it's beyond your concept of mind, that you are therefore belittled by it? And feeling then perhaps that you have a lot less to gain? Perhaps it is, like for some people, that who may not actually realize certain situations about their chakric points or energy that may be emitted or gathered, or stages of development that they may wish to move through by obtaining license to these chakric points, it could well be that they miss the whole plot of spirit enlightenment at all. And in fact, fail even to communicate even with the lowliest of spirits, purely because they haven't been able to open their chakras in the right way.
Well, it's funny, actually, because talking about the chakras and that sort of thing, I mean, many people talk a lot about them and do a lot of work in that area, and there's courses and there's things, there's crystals, there's all sorts of things that you can do and use to work in that way with these energies, but I don't actually see any particular difference in the spiritual nature or, let's say, the expertise of somebody's mediumship or psychic skills between the difference, you know, the difference between people who work specifically with that in a purposeful way and those that don't and that just go with the flow.
Yes, quite so.
I don't know, it's not something that...
It's whatever fits the person.
Well, absolutely, absolutely.
And it may well be that those adherents who swear by opening up their various chakric points in order to communicate and in order to become enthused with their own spirit energy and therefore perhaps become more aligned to it, are hoping to achieve some form of state of nirvana, and I am not here to dissuade them from that journey or to say that they cannot achieve it by that means. It may well be that such a rigorous road of attachment of ritual is something that helps that seeker to become enlightened, perhaps by some aspect or part of the road of their journey.
Absolutely, there may be other ways that these people benefit from doing this that is not necessarily so visual and obvious to onlookers like myself.
Yes, quite so. Likewise, I have to say that you may well have a person, a simple soul, who sits by a riverbank and fishes. Perhaps they never catch a fish. Perhaps they just like using the situation to blend with the natural energies of the universe. They may not actually sense or feel that they are opening this or that chakra. They may not sense or feel that their kundalini is rising from some subliminal activity they are taking in their environment. Yet, by simply drinking in the environment and blending with it and becoming at one with it, in a sense, initializes that sense of oneness and that perfect state of being with the energy of that which is the creator of all life. If one wishes to pursue that realm, are we saying that one is a lesser difference because they have not enabled one particular door of their chakric energy, a prime point, perhaps? Perhaps it's to do with their sacral energy. Perhaps it's to do with their heart chakra or something like that. If they haven't opened that, does that mean to say that you're a diminished soul? Or that you really haven't got a good grasp of the truest nature of your existence? You cannot possibly align yourself without having done these things first and in the right order. Otherwise, you would be criminally negligent of actually not really and truthfully being able to communicate with that which is your spirit.
Now, it's okay, so it's the spiritual experience, but it's actually a physical sensation that you get. Physical, emotional.
It may be.
And I've heard that everything from it being euphoric to other signs and symptoms of awful things like muscle twitches and cramps, everything you can possibly think of, actually.
Every symptom known to man can be something which actually arises from some fault or other of your inability to actually attract or manage the energy which is supposed to be this kundalini energy.
Released. This energy has been released, and it can be good or bad.
Yes, quite so.
So what's all that about? I mean, so...
I wonder. I really do. I wonder. Much of this appears to be, then, that dabbling with such energies can bring apparent fear, can bring apparent, most uncomfortable states of mind and physical distress. So this would appear, then, that this is no easy task, no easy feat for humankind to simply be wedded to the bliss of life. It appears, yet again, that humanity stumbles from one imagination to another, and yet trying to fix a word to it, trying to affix some sort of pattern, repetitive pattern, whereby human understanding can grapple with the very simple nature that is the state of being.
If you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject of kundalini, then the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. The number is a free phone in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222, but the international call isn't toll-free. And you would be speaking with Gregory Hay, who is being channeled by Deep Trance medium Nick Avery, and I'm Sylvie Avery.
Who is a physical medium.
Who is a physical medium. And we can talk about that again another time. Okay, so yes, basically, it's not only at the time when this kundalini rises and flings open the gates to all sorts of mystical and magical vistas or whatever, but it can dramatically impact the body, apparently, afterwards as well, not just at the time. It can be good or bad, again, it can give you headaches, palpitations, intensified or diminished sexual desires, sleep disorders, digestive problems, mental confusion, you name it.
I'm confused already.
I don't understand this. And is it something that's not supposed to be done? How do you know? We meditate on our own. How do we know that this isn't going to happen? I mean, I don't actually know of anybody that... I mean, it's not even mentioned, is it, really, normally, in ordinary meditative conditions that we talk about. I mean, and then all of a sudden you go to a workshop or a retreat or something specifically for this. So why would it miraculously happen in that situation?
Well, part of it, of course, will be to do with the suggestive nature of the practice. And I am not by any means here to throw disquiet upon the practice. I am saying it's perfectly all right for some people to practice this as they wish of it. It's their choice, after all. Everybody has choice. But it doesn't mean to say that someone who does not practice it is then any less loving or any less centered or harmonic, or that they are failing in their duty of care to their own physical state by not practicing it.
But I don't understand. Through all the research that I've been doing,
yes.
I still don't understand how you can make it happen.
As I say, having the key is the secret, really, and somehow the keys are always withheld. So this, in a sense, is, let us say then, that you see something that is really, really beautiful on your side of life. What is it that it invokes in you? Do you feel that there is an energy which actually begins to rise up from that point, from that sacral energy?
A welling up.
A welling up. Do you actually feel that? Well, at times you might. You might feel just this slight sudden urge, like you want to wiggle yourself in order to free it, or something. It can be feeling at times as though when it's just beginning, that it's like you can feel a coldness around your back area.
Mm-hmm.
And that you feel as though there is an activity which begins in that area of the sacral joint, which actually then appears to bring, in a sense, palpitations to your... It may even bring about illogical rhythms to your heart or something. Not necessarily would be something for someone suffering from some kind of heart defect.
So isn't that something to do with adrenaline, though? Like serotonin?
Absolutely so. Yes.
Okay.
Of course, you are looking at, as I always say, my dear friend, you are a physical being. And inasmuch as being a physical being, you depend in the physical world upon matters of chemical interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you see something really beautiful or something that brings great inspiration to you, when you hear something which sends you into a state of spiritual bliss,
mm-hmm.
what you are actually experiencing are chemical reactions taking place in your physical state. These may be actually harnessed and helped by the presence of or your awareness of your own spirit identity. This in itself begins to make you become alive with a certain sense of awareness, which then increases the vibration and makes this energy, this chemical interaction, if you like, releasing serotonin, releasing other pheromonic forms into your physical body. These then, in turn, set off images and situations, surreal or not, within your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And this then colours the aspect of what you are looking at. It changes your vision physically, so that when you are experiencing a great loving connection with something that you are looking at or something that you are listening to. What is it that happens? You close your eyes. You close your eyes, shall we say, it's something that you're listening to. You close your eyes and you go into this raptured state of bliss. And you feel all of this energy rising up through your sacral joint, into your heart chakra, if that's what you want to call it. You feel this rushing energy all into different parts of your physical body state. This is actually, if you are looking at it in a matter-of-fact way, you are looking at situations and issues which are to do with your chemical reactivity. And this chemical reactivity is becoming more and more harnessed, more and more virulent, and it sets off different chemical activities in the physical brain because it's sending pulses to do with contacting the different synapses within the physical brain. And this then fires other pheromonic activity, triggers certain situations, yes, maybe linked to serotonin, maybe linked to other forms of chemicals, which then bring about a difference in the images that you see. So you have your eyes closed because you're in this state of bliss with the music you're listening to. The next thing that happens is that you start to see colors in front of your eyelids. That's pheromonic activity. But it is also you as a physical being responding to the nature of the state of bliss that you become infused with. That's a chemical reaction. What you also become aware of is a rising sensation of your energy and of your vibration, and like a fluttering that is around you. And when this happens, you become more aware of your own intuitive state, your spirit, your contact, if you like, if you will, with the spirit world becomes more in tune and more raised. This in turn can become that you actually have other indications of that connectivity. At the same time, for those who practice in the state and energy of Kundalini, it will be that their inference of that knowledge and that understanding brings and sheds certain light upon those references. And they will not see it as a person who is just blending in the natural state of being, but rather is more organized into this certain way that they have been told to practice.
Well, I can understand how if you have this rush, like we were just talking about, the flood of adrenaline, etc., I can understand how it would maybe trigger panic attacks and that sort of thing, and everything that comes with that later on. Which, do you know what I mean? Which sort of like might open the gate to certain types of person that would have some of these experiences as a knock-on effect of that.
Yes, absolutely. Loss of breath, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
restrictions in the throat or whatever other physical appearances which happen just because perhaps they're not expecting it or because they have no way of actually controlling it. It's like opening this floodgate of some uncontrollable disorder.
So can it be dangerous?
Well, not in itself. After all, breathing can be dangerous to some human being.
The actual experience.
It is different for every single being. That is what I really have to say here, that for some people, yes, it could be, in the wrong hands, it could be potentially life-threatening, quite simply because some human beings really don't have a clue about how to manage their own physical state and will it's a bit like those people who take large amounts of narcotics or something like that, that they actually become desensitized by what they're actually creating within their physical body state and therefore the actual energies and releases of those energies become so confused and random that there appears to be very little control over it. And that really is how it becomes so addictive.
Well, I can imagine maybe practicing this way of, well, the Kundalini yoga or whatever. I can imagine practicing that if you lived in a monastery or on a retreat up in the mountains somewhere, and you didn't really have to have the impact of the material world around you. But it seems to me like that it could be good and bad. It can have negative effects if you are trying to fit in with the daily life here, really.
Yes, I understand.
I was going to say that I've heard also that you need to modify sex, sleep and diet as well, otherwise severe discomfort may arise.
How interesting.
Yes, in order to actually use the Kundalini yogic experience to enrich your life, it says that you might, it's reasonable to expect that you may need to change your lifestyle as a result of that.
Yes, I'm sure, however, that there are others who are firm adherents of tantric states,
mm-hmm.
whereby they would completely disagree.
Mm-hmm.
In that, perhaps they would say that their sexual appetite is something which is heightened. Quite simply, that is something which brings them undefined states of bliss. And in that respect, it may well be just a different pathway of the physical experience.
Well, it doesn't seem that it's that far removed from a sexual encounter, really, experience.
Yes, I understand.
The rise in euphoria.
Yes, quite so. Yes, quite. And I do feel that there are most certainly very definitely similarities here. Exactly the same as there will be similarities which happen when people perhaps take certain forms of substances.
Mm-hmm.
And they too will find that these very same situations can be released in that environment. Because, and yet, of course, that may well be in a controlled way, or it may be in an uncontrolled way, because the drug itself releases certain endomorphines, which actually bring about quite a rush in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes I have heard it said that, and have observed in physical beings, that is something which tends to happen as well, most certainly for certain kinds of chemical ingestion, yes.
Mm.
That those adherents to that particular drug would say that too brings them a certain form of religious experience. I understand that many human beings have experimented on many different forms of this,
mm-hmm.
in order to bring about a satisfaction or to bring about a certain spiritual ease. And I am not here to judge that. I'm just really pointing it out as a fact.
Oh, no, and I think this is fascinating, the whole thing, really. And I'm sure mm-hmm. there are other races, different peoples in here, well, and everywhere, actually, who have something equally similar and call it
absolutely.
A different name or whatever.
Absolutely, you know. Of course, yes. For example, friend, there are the native peoples of South America
mm-hmm.
who chew coca leaves.
Oh, yes.
And they, too, have great and beautifying experiences.
Yes.
From that situation, do they become addicted to it? Well, possibly so, but it's just a part of their life experience, and they have great joy from doing such a thing. They actually connect very beautifully with their physical bodies,
mm.
and it's not to say that they should not do it. And I'm not really saying that people should not practice Kundalini yogic experiences. I'm merely stating here that there are other ways to skin a cat And most certainly, there are other ways to connect with your spirit. You don't have to go through all of these different pronouncements and very difficult journeys in order to adhere to various states of bliss or to find them even. It doesn't have to be that complex.
Well, I remember the feeling that I had when I spoke to this person, or when he spoke to me about it.
Yes.
When I was all very, I was quite naive in those days about it, and I was drinking everything in and I wanted to learn, and I felt slightly uncomfortable about the fact that I was possibly walking around with a snake coiled up at the bottom of my spine.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so I used to think about that quite often and think, you know, it was just a bit too weird for me.
Yes, and of course, you would also, this would also intimate that those of a Christian upbringing would perhaps actually shudder at this and say, yes, you see, I told you so, they are heathens and that they are dealing in the work of Satan, the work of Satan, quite simply because of invoking something to do with a snake within their own physical state.
And then even to think that I had a specific energy there, that I had to consciously do something
to attract,
to release, and it, you know, I mean...
Yes.
So what do you see when this happens in the spirit world to somebody? What does it look like from your side of life when somebody's kundalini has risen, either at the time or afterwards, really? Gregory's pausing for the train.
Yes.
Did everybody enjoy the train?
Yes. Well, what actually we observe, in fact, is that there, as this energy rises, we observe that the auric field surrounding the person changes and alters. It shimmers. It actually extends. But it extends for different reasons, not because of the energy that's arising or because of the feelings that are being brought about, but because of the chemical reactivity that is occurring in the physical state, releasing pheromonic activity, further activity, allowing that physical being to blend with their spirit and perhaps become more aware. That's the secret, becoming more aware.
And can you see this chemical reaction in other situations to do with the meditation, when, you know, without the kundalini aspect of it? I mean...
Yes, of course.
Yes.
So without someone particularly wanting to or having to move through opening this or that chakra in order to connect with this or that energy. That becomes a way, a pathway of doorways for some particular beings who wish to be advocates of that way. However, it continues to be that there are many people who simply give by understanding that the purest state of being will be something which can be achieved through simplicity, not through having to open up any door consciously or creating any snake of awareness within the energy platform of their own deep and divine soul.
Well, I mean, what is this, what you would call enlightenment anyway? It's not, is it, really?
No. What is enlightenment, really? Enlightenment of what? Enlightenment of an idea? Does that mean to say that you understand and perceive of something?
Yes.
I'm sure that many people in their daily walk of life come to some form of enlightenment of knowledge, some enlightenment of idea, of understanding of the truest state of their being. If you, as a human being, or as a spirit having a human physical existence, if you truly wish to become more at one with the universe and of the supreme state of being, then you need to immerse yourself in that supreme state of being, not through trying to divine specific gateways, thereby making your journey more complex and more rigorous. But that can very often lead you away from the pathway of simplicity and purity. Try to remember what purity really is. It's not necessarily that you have to jump through hoops in order to obtain it. Bringing about forgiveness, bringing about real gratitude for your life, is something that can invoke far more than any tryst with you trying to work specific magic within your own physical body dimension. It is being able to be in the purest state of being with the universe. That is truth. That is truly the way in which your state of bliss can become manifest in your life.
Well, putting these elaborate physiological descriptions aside, I suppose the goal is the same for any spiritual practice, isn't it, really, to be liberated maybe from the bounds of the self-centered and ego.
Egotistical
ego.
Mind.
Absolutely. So, yes, and the internal, shall we say, manifestations of the Kundalini are just a different way of becoming to the point of the external description, if you know what I mean, which is similar to any legitimate spiritual practice. I mean, they're all a means to an end.
And
so
they are all...
individual person and totally legitimate for whoever and however you want to get there, isn't it, really?
Absolutely so. Yes, absolutely so. But I am, in a sense, imploring everyone to look into the reality of life and to try to recognize and keep in sight of the prime state of their existence. Why are you here? Why are you here, really? Is it that you have to bring about these sacred practices? Or is it that you have to be sacred about your journey? So not practicing. If you practice something sacred, it means to say that there are times when you're not practicing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're actually stating, I am practicing, I'm going to spend some time practicing my sacred state. That means to say and intimates to every intent and purpose that there are large amounts of time when you're not practicing your sacred state. If you come into the light of being and understand this is whom you should be, that is something which should infuse throughout every strand of your journey without you having to figuratively connect with this state or that state of being, but instead with every breath being meaningful and truthful to the sacred state of purity you can exist within your life.
So you shouldn't have to try, basically, to be ascended or to be enlightened.
No. If you have to try, you are moving away from it. If you wish to allot some time for yourself to become more centered and more aware and more honest within the harmony that you are, feeling perhaps that if at times you are not in harmony, then redress that balance, forgive yourself, bring gratitude to the fore of your life, so that you may once again be able to visit the truthful states of the supreme art of being.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Gregory. It's been fascinating.
With love and light and blessings be upon every breath of your moment of life.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
So, well, I'd like to thank anybody that was listening today. I know we didn't have any calls, but we always get emails saying that you've enjoyed the show, so that's, I'm very grateful for that, and thank you. You know who you are. And if you'd like to go to our website, that's www.spirit-teaching.com, and we do Akashic readings, all sorts of Akashic readings, so you can take a browse through the site. You can learn all sorts of things, just packed full of information. We also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com on Tuesdays. So I'd like to say thank you ever so much for listening, and do have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. And we'll see you after. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.